This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
Just try to do my very best. Stand up, be counted with all the rest. Cause everybody knows about Mississippi.
That is Nina Simone performing Mississippi Goddamn at the Westbury Music Fair on April the 7th, 1968, so just 3 days after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
If you have been moved at all, and you know my songs at all, for God's sakes, join me. Don't sit back there. The time is too late now. Good God. You know? The king is dead. The king of love is dead.
Nina Simone, along with Sam Cooke and Bob Dylan and Pete Seeger and countless others, made important contributions to the rich canon of protest songs during the civil rights movement. A canon so strong that the term protest song often conjures up images of artists from the 1960s. Well, the tradition did not stop there. However, it just sounds a little different today. Justin Charity is a staff writer for Complex magazine and is here to talk about what protest sounds like in 2016. Justin Charity, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So what have been some of the big notable protest songs of 2015?
Well, I think the biggest obviously has been Kendrick Lamar's All Right, one of the singles from his latest album, To Pimp a Butterfly. I know that outside of hip-hop, you sort of have Prince swung through Baltimore during the protests in the wake of Freddie Gray's death. And he also released a song called Baltimore, which is essentially a protest sort of peaceful record in the wake of those protests. And you have Janelle Monáe and her Wonderland Records having released a song called The Hell You Talking About.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Kendrick Lamar's All Right. Now, this track is off his critically acclaimed album, To Pimp a Butterfly. He wrote this in response to the Ferguson protests. And a warning here, it does contain strong language, including the N-word. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. While we wouldn't call that one subtle, there are others that are a lot more blunt. Here is What the Hell You Talking About. This is a track from Janelle Monáe you mentioned, featuring several of the artists from her Wonderland Records imprint.
Freddie Gray, say his name. Freddie Gray, say his name. Freddie Gray.
So she's asking us to say the name of many people who were killed by police, but she goes way back to Emmett Till and those who were killed during the civil rights movement of the 1960s. So, Justin, what do you think? Are these songs a reflection of the Black Lives Matter movement, or have they actually helped build it?
I think it'd be more accurate to say that they're a reflection of Black experiences and that they are compatible with the Black Lives Matter movement. But different artists, I think, relate to the Black Lives Matters movement as a specific protest brand to varying degrees. But I think if you're Black in America, I think the past 4 years in particular has made it pretty much impossible for you to be a Black artist and have not been at some point frustrated enough that you feel that you pretty much have to make a record that addresses what a huge swath of your audience fears about what's going on in America right now in terms of police brutality.
Kendrick Lamar's All Right has actually become a bit of an anthem. Here it is being chanted at a protest in Cleveland.
We gon' be all right. We gon' be all right. We gon' be all right. We gon' be all right.
Well, you said it's impossible not to be affected by this, but clearly not every Black artist has put out a protest record. Is there a risk or a fear of backlash to writing a protest song?
Well, I think that let's look at hip-hop specifically for a second. I think a big part of, if you compare Kendrick Lamar's generation to let's say the early 90s, right, when you had entire rap acts that were sort of, I guess, associated with protest. You can think of KRS-One, you can think of Public Enemy, you can think of Paris. And I think with hip-hop as a genre, used to be, I think in general, a genre that was focused more on telling and less on showing. And I think that in the 21st century, rap has become sort of immersive in the way that rappers talk about police brutality or the way that rappers talk about life in the projects is a bit more immersive. And it's less, you know, this is my song about police brutality, this is my song about racism in America, so much as it's just that their songwriting demonstrates this inequality in a bit more subtle ways. So it's not a surprise that a song like All Right exists. Other than that, it sort of resonates with the Nina Simone record you played at the top of the broadcast, the Mississippi Goddamn. It's sort of like All Right is the first rap record in a long time that's made me think of the fact that Black music in general, outside of hip-hop, just has a very consistent thread of explicit sort of confrontational protest about it that's especially valuable in 2016.
Nina Simone was very clear that Mississippi Goddamn basically got her blacklisted, in her words, from the music business. Kendrick Lamar, he's been embraced by the critics. He leads the Grammy nominations, 11, including Album of the Year for To Pimp a Butterfly. So is that surprising to you?
You know, it is. I think that's true about Kendrick Lamar's album in general, and it's certainly true about, I think, the critical acclaim for All Right, right? It's sort of like you have Black people, you know, Black fans, Black critics, white fans, white critics, sort of universally embracing this music. And for sure, that's not something you necessarily would have seen in the 1950s, 60s, or 70s. But I also think it has a lot to do with maybe just the difference in how artists make music and distribute it, and sort of the power of audiences to organize against musicians when they say things that we don't agree with or don't like.
Say the word protest song and you might think of Bob Dylan or Sam Cooke. Well, some say that we're in the midst of a new civil rights movement. So we're talking with Justin Charity of Complex Magazine about what the new protest song sounds like. Here is a clip of Killer Mike. He's the hip-hop artist from Atlanta. He's taking the stage here in St. Louis. Now, this is an hour and a half after the Ferguson grand jury decision.
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Something said. Just look for something Martin King might have said. So I Googled Martin King, and Wikipedia popped up, and he was 39 years old when you motherfucking killed him. He was the same age as I am, the same age as L. He was a young man when they killed him. But I can promise you today, if I die when I walk off this stage tomorrow, I'm gonna let you know this. It is not about race, it is not about class, it is not about color. It is about what they killed him for. It is about poverty, it is about greed, and it is about a war machine. It is about a war machine that uses you as a battery. So I might go tomorrow, I might go the day after, but the one thing I want you to know, it is us against the mother machine. Let's go.
Killer Mike there, Catching Fire. And this is a video that went hyper viral. A lot of people have seen it. And I can't help but think about, you know, when Public Enemy was making records, or certainly NWA was making records in the late 1980s, early 90s, there was a lot of hand-wringing about talking about police brutality or, you know, radicalism. But now we have evidence from body cams, from dash cams, from forensic experts, from people who've taken videos on the sidewalk that point to real inequality. Is there a wider audience now for the protest song?
I think there are. I mean, I think sort of like if you compare, let's think back to like NWA and sort of how the LAPD tried to handle NWA. It's just sort of they tried to, for a while, just write them off. And I think, you know, the way I think that the United States government and sort of white consumers used to look at this is like, well, you can marginalize these artists. You cannot play them on radio, get their albums banned from physical cassette and CD retailers, and that'll basically starve the politics out of these groups. And you compare that to Killer Mike now, and I think as much as Kendrick Lamar's All Right has become this critically acclaimed popular record. I think the more interesting story is Killer Mike, because he's not a guy who, I think, prior to last year, that anyone would have associated with conscious hip-hop, right? Like, he's not a guy whose entire style of rapping is oriented around enlightenment. Killer Mike is a very, in some ways, he's a conventional rapper from Atlanta who makes a lot of exciting, dirty Atlanta rap, who also has this political awareness in his real life that I think at this point he just can't help but incorporate into his music. I think the fact that someone like Killer Mike, who's not necessarily a conscious rapper, quote unquote, is that frustrated on that stage in St. Louis, I think that shows where hip hop might be going in terms of rappers. You know, there's maybe some hint of a trend in the fact that even rappers that you wouldn't typically associate with political expression are feeling a bit radicalized.
And now he's stumping for Bernie, right?
Yes. That is like such a great trajectory. It's like Killer Mike goes from being, again, a pretty hardcore Atlanta rapper to still being a hardcore Atlanta rapper while making videos with Bernie Sanders and going to his rallies. And doing so is like a credible, it's not like this isn't a Sister Soulja type situation. Like, Killer Mike is a credible guy to take the podium before Bernie Sanders goes on stage. And he's a credible guy to talk to a crowd of several thousand people about why Bernie Sanders is a great Democratic candidate for president.
Well, Justin Charity, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Justin Charity is a staff writer at Complex Magazine, and you can find a playlist of all the songs we've mentioned and more at wordofmouthradio.org.
First they stole our body.
I can't cry no more.
Then they stole our sons.
I can't cry no more.
Then they stole our God.